Is it just the chairman that we're missing? Well, since we're on third reading, we probably ought to have everybody here. Okay, the Senate will come to order. We do have some messages to read, so we'll assume that everybody will be here by the time we get started. We've got messages from the House.
Thank you.
February the 19th, 2015, from the House of Representatives, message number 313, concurrence passed. Mr. President, the House did concur on Senate amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill number 104, Big and Trophy Game Licenses Reservations. Ayes 51, noes 8, excused 1. And House Bill number 74, Front License Plate Requirement. Ayes 38, noes 21, excused 1. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Messages from standing committees.
February the 19th, 2015, Mr. President, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 44, engrossed, Emergency 9/11 Fees, Prepaid Wireless, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Burns, Hastert, Perkins, Ross, and Wassenberger, Senator Ross, Chairman.
Worth that order of business of continuing to work on Senate File 1, third reading amendments, and the privilege of the floor to Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. President, for privilege of the floor. Mr. President, I just wanted to remind the body of the commemorative coins, and we just got the first sample of the special legislative edition, and I've got the forms if you'd like. I'll be passing these around so people can take a look and see if you like it. It does not have the signature cards in it yet. It'll have signature cards with it. There are 100 sets available. These are only available to the current and former legislators until the end of the session. Then anything that's not sold will be available to the public. So if you're interested, come by here. I've got a form for you to fill out. But don't give me money.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, I would like to request that House Bill 126, Candidate Filing Requirements, that has a $56,000 appropriation to the Secretary of State's office, be re-referred to Appropriations. House Bill 126.
Without objection, House Bill 126 is re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Senator Driscoll.
President, privilege the floor.
You may have so.
Lady and gentlemen of the Senate, I am pleased to have with me the late Senator Thomas's son, Greg, grandson, Evan Thomas, Sophia Thomas, and Isabella Thomas to visit us for the day watching us in budget battles.
All right, welcome.
Yeah.
Look at her.
Glad to have you. Are those all the messages? We're now back on that order of the business of considering bills on third reading. We're considering Senate File 1, the budget bill. Senator Anderson, the first item on the list is third reading amendment number 1. Did you have a request with respect to that item?
Mr. President, the subsequent amendment number 2 took the place of mine. So, in the words of Cicero a few thousand years ago, any man can make mistakes, but only an idiot persists in the error. I withdraw my amendment number 1, please.
Without objection, third reading amendment number 1 is withdrawn. That brings us to
Cicero. Yeah.
Third reading amendment number 14. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you read it in, please?
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 14, budget affected, Section 26, Department of Education.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 14 to Senate File 1. Members of the Senate, we had some good discussion, it seemed like a couple of months ago, but I think it was last week, about this particular issue. It dealt with the National Next Generation Science Standards, and the process really works well in the legislature, where you have a bill comes over, you amend it, you go to conference, and I was feeling pretty good about having the opportunity to go to conference with the House and discuss this, and then someone happened to mention to me that didn't really make any difference if you go to conference or not, because the budget bill takes care of this in another way. And so rather than be out fumbled and rolled by the House, Mr. President, I thought we would cover all angles. And so, Mr. President, that's what this does. If you go into the budget bill on page 80, where it says if 2015 House Bill 23 is not enacted, then the footnote is repealed. And what I do with this, Mr. President, I add this language to that to ensure that we let the process work and I can go talk to the members of the House about House Bill 23. So I would ask for your favorable consideration and support.
Senator Rothfuss.
Mr. President, on and against the amendment, I'm hoping that this amendment goes down and that we go get rolled by the House.
The question having been called, any further discussion? All those in favor of third reading amendment number 14, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. Third reading amendment number 14 has been adopted. That'll teach those guys to talk. Let's see. We're at third reading number 20. If the reading clerk would please read in the amendment.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 20, budget affected, Section 206, Department of Education.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move third reading amendment number 20 to the budget bill. This is within, of course, the Department of Education, and if you go to page 83 of your bill, you'll see that there is an existing program called the Tribal Triad Initiative. It had funding of $125,000, which was used up in the first biennium. And what this amendment does, Mr. Chairman, is provide money to extend it for the second half of the biennium, and so it goes into it increases the general fund appropriation by $95,273 to provide funding for Tribal Triad, which is brought by it's an initiative developed by an institute in Sheridan, Wyoming, and used to provide enhanced educational opportunities for children on the Native American children throughout Wyoming, but predominantly on the Wind River Indian Reservation. And this would extend that program, which is now without funding.
Discussion on the amendment.
Guido.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment, I can't really speak with great clarity with regards to this program because I really don't know a whole lot about it. But it is another $95,000 plus hit to the general fund, and the way we're going, we could be here longer than 36 days.
Further discussion on the amendment before the sponsor takes his final Senator Bebout?
Yeah, Mr. President, and this, I know what this program's about. It's a program that they use on the reservation with the different schools out there. It has worked. And I recall when we did this during the last budget session, I guess a question of the sponsor, I thought we had enough money to pay for it for 2 years. And it's a good program. We certainly want to do it. So if we run short and we can't do it this year, then this amendment does make sense. But I thought we had enough money to cover it for 2 years, and certainly it's a lot of money for what they do, and I think they could live within their existing budget, but it is a good program, Mr. President.
Back to the sponsor for a second time, unless anyone else wants to speak. Senator Coe. No case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
One corner versus the other.
Mr. Chairman, I think, you know, what really happened with this program is it got caught up in all the dynamic changes, including education responsibilities last year and an election year. You know, it came, the realization that this program didn't have any more money came about too late for the new superintendent to get it in her budget. It certainly got lost in the mess that we had last year. You know, I suppose they could have been more frugal and done a better job of anticipating that the funding was for an entire biennium. They didn't. And it's special programs focused on individual kids to help them do better in their culture. Your tribal relations committee had presentations on this program. We support it, and hope you will too.
Roll call.
Roll call. Would Senator Wasberger come up here?
Don't let him have the chair.
Go ahead and do the roll call.
Anderson, District 2. Anderson, District 28. Barnard. Bebout. Burns. Case.
Aye.
Christensen. Coe. Cooper. Kraft. Dockstetter, no. Driscoll, no. Emmerich, no. Escobel, no. Geis,
no.
Hastert,
no.
Hicks,
no.
Johnson,
no.
Kinski,
aye.
Landon,
no.
Meyer,
aye.
Pappas,
no.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Ross, Rothfuss?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Fladern?
No.
Wasserberger?
No.
President Nicholas?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 9 aye, 21 no.
Third reading amendment number 20 has failed. The next item for consideration is third reading amendment number 23. If the reading clerk will please read in the amendment.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 23, multiple budgets affected, AML funding.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 23 to Senate File 1. This is, as you can see from the amendment, it is sponsored by your Appropriations Committee, along with Senator Kinski. This is an attempt to try to provide some funding for local governments. What it does is it is a net impact to the general fund of $118,258. What we do in Section 315, there is a total of $6 million that will go to cities, towns, and counties. It's distributed based on, in G Romanet I, $4,000 to cities, towns, and counties on a formula that takes you over into page 2. The first paragraph on page 2 is flat distribution. To cities and towns, first of all, with a population of 35 or less, get 5,000. Each city and town with a population of over 35 but less than 1,000 shall receive $25,000. And these distributions will be made on August 15, 2015. Then $2,000 goes, or $2 million, excuse me, to all the counties. And the way we fund this is on the bottom of page 2. We go in and we intercept $5.8 million from AML money that was in the Wildlife Natural Trust Fund that has not been utilized. We shift that over to the ITC project and pull out the like amount from in general funds that we have with regards to the ITC program. And you'll see that on Romanet 2 on page 3 of the amendment. And so that's basically amendment. It provides $6 million to cities, towns, and counties as an attempt to address the concerns of the cities, towns, and counties. And I'd urge your favorable consideration.
Roll call.
Yeah, why am I allowed?
Hold on before going back to Senator Christensen before the roll call. Sorry, I did not catch you. Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, we're just looking at page 3. Wondering how page 3 relates to the money. And then just clarification, if I understand, the $5.8 million comes out of the Wildlife Trust Fund. Is that what I heard?
Senator Bebout?
Mr. President, on page 3, to give an explanation of this, there was money that was appropriated several years ago, AML money to be spent in a certain way as revenues for the Wildlife Trust Fund. It was never money from the Wild Trust Fund or from the interest in the Wildlife Trust Fund. It was money set aside to be spent, AML money, by the Wildlife Trust Fund. They did not do that. They did not spend the money. And so, Mr. President, what we did, those were AML funds. We have the ITC, the Integrated Test Center program out there that we have funded with general fund dollars. So the ITC clearly is a better use in terms of what AML money's is intended to be used for, i.e. for coal and coal-related projects. We take the AML money, we swap it with the general fund dollars for the ITC, then those general fund dollars come back to the general fund, and that's where we find $5.8 million of the dollars to take care of cities, towns, and counties.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I'm confused with the explanation as what the net financial effect in terms of how much going to the cities and counties. And am I right in thinking it's for capital construction things? No?
Senator Bebout, second
Mr.
time.
Mr. President, for my second time, it will be distributed as direct distribution, just like we did the previous $175 million, although part of that was consensus, but part of it was direct distribution. And so you use that direct distribution formula we have in place, and that includes a hardship, and it goes out the same way we've done it in the past. No consensus money, all direct distribution money.
Further questions? Discussions? Question having been called, roll call on the amendment.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Fladern?
No.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 28 aye, 2 no.
Third reading, amendment number 23 has been adopted. We're now on third reading, amendment number 9. If the reading clerk would please read in the amendment.
Senate File 1, third reading, amendment number 9. Budgets affected, section 315, local government distributions.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I want to commend the majority floor leader for the, I guess it would say, the hard work that he did finding that money so JAC could move it on the floor and get a positive vote. So with that, Mr. President, I have a couple amendments here. One is this one, which I'm going to withdraw, but I do have one that's extraordinary hardship amendment, Mr. President, right. We'll talk about later.
Thank you. So without objection, third reading amendment number 9 has been withdrawn. That takes us to third reading amendment number 10, corrected copy. If the clerk would please read it in.
Not on. Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 10, corrected copy, budget affected, section 316, local government distribution.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this goes to the other side of the equation on local government distributions and focuses on the consensus grant and specifically infrastructure projects. Mr. President, what this does is take $35 million of possible projected earnings, and you can see that in a little C, from earnings from the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund in excess of the spending policy amount established pursuant to statute. So those are funds that would otherwise pour into the corpus of the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund. These are not profiled in the budget. They do not affect any of the tranches or anything else in the budget. It's money that, if it comes, would pour into the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund. Last year it was around $117 million. The year before that it was around $100 million. Now, Mr. President, this is not a line of funding that's competing with the inflation proofing of the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund, because we still have the statutory 1% and the constitutional 1.5% that will total somewhere around $300 to $350 million going into the corpus next year. In addition, any funds above this first $35 million that this amendment projects going towards cities, towns, and counties would go to the corpus. Mr. President, I don't believe I move this. I move third reading amendment number 10 to Senate File 1 and ask the body for favorable consideration. Back on the concept. These funds, through consensus block grant, would go specifically to our cities, towns, and counties through previous distribution that we had in statute in the budget in 2014, and go towards infrastructure projects for the next year. Again, this isn't necessarily enough money, but this is an amount of money that makes it more consistent with the amounts we've given to cities, towns, and counties for infrastructure in recent years, and this will certainly help to get projects off the ground in each of our municipalities, our cities, towns, and counties. It's working through the consensus block grant model where you basically get 70% approval before you move forward with a project. As I said, once again, Mr. President, this is not competing with any other budget funding. It's a prioritization concept Do we put money into the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund? More money, in other words, do we put $500 million or do we put about $465 million into that fund this year? And it seems once again that from an investment standpoint, we need to be investing in our infrastructure to a better degree than we are right now. This will help to get us there. I'd encourage the body to support this, support for your communities.
Mr. President.
There are lines that you should never draw or cross. You should draw them and never cross them. But the, what that's been asked of here is if you look at the dollars above the spending policy that go into...
Is the microphone on?
A little rusty up there. What's being referred to is the dollars that are above the spending policy amount of 5%. And now within the budget, there is a recommendation for tranche one or tranche two that is funds which are funds below the 5%. But above the 5%, the policy that we have is it accumulates to a threshold in the SPRAW account, and it doesn't tip until it hits that threshold, which if you go back to your chart, it's 75% of the average earnings for a period of time. And but the dollars that go back, that actually trip and go back into the corpus are there for inflation proofing it. And the purpose of the inflation proofing is that every dollar you put in is declining in value every year through inflation. And the corpus is, and the dollars are important. The second aspect of it is part of the investment policy, because by being in equities, you know that your corpus is going to fluctuate. So if you have a decline in the stock market, the only way to recover that money is through growth in your, actually in your earning or in your corpus and earnings. And this part, this protects both of those. So it's part of your spending policy that you should never, ever divert those funds over out of the inflation proofing. Now, when you hear that, well, there is 1% of our statutory diversion and 1.5% of our constitutional diversions going into the corpus of the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund, and that is your inflation proofing component, the answer to that is simply nonsense. Those are the funds we put in there because we're depleting our minerals that will never come back. You only get them once. And the depletion there is your mineral base that's out in your state. And what we've agreed is we're going to take some of that and put it in the corpus. So when you hear this notion that the statutory version or the constitutional version are sufficient to make up for depletion, that's simply wrong. That is your grandchildren and everybody else's investment in the loss of the depletion of the mineral that exists in the state. So please don't go down that road. Those are new dollars added, but you have to have inflation dollars for every dollar that you added prior time in order to keep this fund inflation proof and make sure that it is a resource that exists long after all of our minerals are depleted. I urge that you vote no.
Further discussion before the sponsor speaks for a second time? Ms. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I appreciate the counsel on this, but when I look back over at how these funds were handled in the past, it appears to me that in fiscal year 12, 9, and 10, these funds were also intercepted. So this is not a never, ever touch these funds. This is a don't touch them very often approach. And we haven't done, we didn't do it the last 2 years, but never, ever doesn't really date back that far. These are funds that have been used in the past for previous investments. This is a circumstance where there's no intent to intercept all of the funds. There's hope to intercept $35 million of those funds and invest them in the state now. It's an investment. It's how we choose to invest. Do we invest in equities or do we invest in our cities, towns, and counties? It's true. These are investment funds. There will still be, again, the 2.5% that's building the corpus, as noted, to try and provide the long-term consideration and taking the resources from our state and investing it in the long haul. But at the same time, we have that statutory 1%, which is in excess of the constitutional provision that helps to inflation-proof it, plus the fact that in all probability we'll end up with around $100 million in revenue through this year, of which $65 million will help to inflation-proof it. This is not a crisis amount. This does not shut down the process. It is simply a matter of a choice between investment. Do we want to invest in equities, the $35 million, or do we want to invest in our cities, towns, and counties and the infrastructure with that $35 million? Both are, without doubt, reasonable investments for the state of Wyoming. It's a policy choice. It's not going to break the system. The system's quite healthy. It's going to continue to be healthy regardless of which way you vote on this particular amendment. In this instance, based on our other investments, it seems to me that this is a viable, reasonable, and prudent way to spend that $35 million and to invest it in our people and in our communities. I hope the body will support this amendment and help to invest in our communities.
Roll call on the question, which is on third reading amendment number 10.
Anderson District 2?
No.
Anderson District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Escobel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Kinski?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Von Fladern?
No.
Wasserberger?
No.
President Nicholas?
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 4-aye, 26 no.
Third reading amendment number 10 has failed. That takes us to third reading amendment number 21. Will the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate file 1, third reading amendment number 21. Budgets affected, section 344, state building construction.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, thank you very much. Mr. President, as you recall, on Tuesday, I brought an amendment to try to purchase the collection of paintings that are displayed on the second floor of our Capitol that depict the life of Chief Washakie. We voted that amendment down because it did have some problems with it. It had that the $156,000 would be used for more than simply the purchase. And I brought this amendment that deals just with $156,000 and just for the purchase. To help you to understand the value of those paintings, I have caused to be distributed a page that looks like this. It has someone's name who is a dealer in fine art. And I believe they're in New York City. New York City, Mr. President. What do they know about our art? But anyway, they know enough to it's Montana and New York City, but that makes it even better because you know the J.K. Ralston, his career was, he was born in Montana. He died in Montana. His main studio work was there, but he did understand the West. And you can see that this appraisal dated 8/14/08, so it's kind of dated. Valued those paintings on an individual basis, ranging from I think the lowest is a group of two for $6,500 to the highest is one for 9,500, the total value being exactly the 156 that I'm proposing to purchase it for. Now, this appraisal was a few years back. Mr. Ralston's fame has grown. He's become much more collectible. And what we have the opportunity here is to purchase an entire set depicting the life of someone very special to Wyoming, Chief Washakie, who is so great in our history that we selected him to be one of our two sentinel figures to be represented in the U.S. Capitol as the Statuary Hall of Fame. That's why we have a statue of Chief Washakie in front of this Capitol. Mr. Chairman, the funding source is the same as it was last time. I take it out of the construction funds for the Capitol. I tried to work with the good chairman of appropriations to find a better funding source. We actually couldn't together. I'm hoping that we can understand that when we have a finished Capitol, we need to have a finished furnished Capitol, too. This is an important piece. And another addition to this amendment, I've added the word Capitol complex, so it doesn't specifically require that these pieces of art go to the Capitol itself if we decide to have it somewhere else in the complex. I would hope you'd support the amendment, Mr. President. I'm not sure that we'll ever get another chance, and once this collection is broken up, we've lost a very significant piece of history where this artist, beginning in 1935, started researching the life of Chief Washakie to develop these 24 paintings.
Questions? Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. I compliment the good sponsor of this amendment in working with me. We did modify the language, take into consideration that this is just the purchase price, and suggested, of course, the language that it be in the Capitol complex, because we don't know when we come back in where everything will fit. The Capitol complex could include the connector, it could include Hirschler, and the money does come from the Capitol Rehabilitation and Restoration account. And so the policy question for you is, for those of you who have reservations about what we're doing with the Capitol, you can take that into consideration. If the appropriation stays, I believe, where it is, I think we can absorb it within the Capitol Rehabilitation and Restoration account, so long as it stays where it's at. But it's one of those things, because it becomes a kind of every time somebody goes in or does something with that restoration account, it reduces or drives up the potential cost. But in this situation, you have a one-time chance to buy these paintings. They're hung around the rotunda on the second floor here. I will tell you that I suspect that there could be some restoration money needed in the future for them, but that will be our choice at a later date, and so that vote your conscience.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President. And maybe someone could explain to me from the committee dealing with the new remodel of the new expansion of the Hirschler building and the remodel of this building. But under the expansion of the new building, it's new construction. And I know under state statute, when I deal with public buildings built with public monies, there is a set aside for public for art in public places, 1% of the money up to $100,000 max. And so I know we're building, it's not just a remodel, we're building a new building. So if we're going to spend up to $100,000 for art anyway, is that already in the budget of the project? If not, or if it is, maybe this purchase could go toward, that art in public places statute. Thank you, Mr. President.
Great question. I see nothing but owl-like stares. Senator Driscoll.
But it's been pretty critical of the Capitol construction. This may help me vote for it. This is actually a great addition. It's a good deal. It's good for the people of Wyoming, and it'll make our new home a better place. Please support it.
Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, in all seriousness, you know, if we look around this room and this building and the art and the history of Wyoming we see here, how do you replace that? And the opportunity to grab something that is unique to Wyoming. And I've seen how art has changed and how people appreciate art in my community, but it's across the entire state. And while I'm not so sure that $156,000 gets me over $290 million, it helps.
Senator Burns.
Well, Mr. President, I was kind of hoping not to go there, but I went out after the discussion Tuesday and looked at those paintings, and with all due respect to the gentleman for doing all the research and so forth, I'm just really not impressed by him as an artist. I don't think they're worth $156,000, but that's just my opinion.
Senator Ross.
Mr. President, I cannot answer the question with regard to the question from my good friend from Laramie County with regards to the 1% in these new buildings. I just simply don't know the answer to that. But if so, it may be part of the whole package anyway.
Senator Case, for your
final time. Mr. President, thank you. It's my understanding, Mr. President, this is actually a particular style. It's not an overly detailed style. It was a promise style. It's sort of the period. It sort of reflected the action of the sketches, and it was a particular style. You know, an art's in the eye of the beholder. I'm kind of fascinated that he did the research on each piece and did these 24 paintings of the life of Chief Washakie. I do like them. I agree with the good center. They're not the quality of that sharp over there in the corner, which is stunning, but they're pretty darn good, and they're very representational of the most, perhaps one of the most famous person from Wyoming, perhaps, arguably so. And who assisted the settlers, who assisted the Mormon pioneers, who provided, was the only person, only Native American chief, Mr. President, was allowed to choose his own reservation, and who was buried with full military rights. And that is just an amazing thing. He had scouts that helped at the Bates Battle. The army and the Shoshone soldiers fought at Bates Battle. They fought at other battles. He's famous for a reason, and this is a chance to do something about it. I can't tell you about the 1%. If we find more 1% later down the road for art, we can back this out because this is a 3-year project. Thank you, Mr. President.
Roll call on third reading amendment number 21.
Anderson, District 2. Aye. Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
No.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
No.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
No.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Geis.
No.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks. Johnson.
Aye.
Kinski.
No.
Landon.
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Pappas.
Aye.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
No.
Scott.
No.
Von Platern.
Aye.
Wasserberger.
No.
President Nicholas.
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 16 aye, 14 no.
Third reading amendment number 21 has been adopted. We're at third reading number 12. Would the reading clerk please read in third reading number 11?
Senate File 1, third reading and number 11, Multiple Budgets Affected, Sections 345, 346.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 11 to Senate File 1. Members of the body, you have a couple of handouts that you need to have. One is a bar graph that shows the budget and the supplemental for the last 5 years, or the last five bienniums. The next one that you're going to want to have that I've had redistributed is the one with all the tranches on it. You're going to need that. And the third one that you're going to need is you should have a copy of Senate or amendment number 11 that shows divisions along the side. That's going to be the one that you really need. So, Mr. President, while the members are gathering up that information, first let me say, never let it be said in this body a senator from the mother county cannot bring, while we can't bring the volume of the senator from Goshen County, we can certainly bring things that are longer than the senator from Goshen County. Mr. Chairman, in all due seriousness, this amendment's extremely important from a standpoint that this addresses a significant policy change that we're going to debate here in the very near future on this amendment. Let me lay out to you what that policy change is. In the last couple of days, I've consulted with some of the senior, longest-serving members in this body, and members in this body that are no longer here, and I ask every one of them, I said, when you were in this body, or have you ever seen a budget where you forecasted and obligated expenditures on money that you didn't know had come yet? And the answer was no. This is a significant deviation from the policy that we've had in the past. So, members of the body, let me address what that policy change is. We've heard the good chairman from the appropriations talk about when we get to the tranche 2 and tranche 3. That is called betting on the come. We've interjected new words into the budget that talk about contingent appropriations. I've asked the most senior bodies, members of this body and people that serve that are no longer here, have they ever seen such a budget? And the answer was no. If you look at the sheet that has the bar graphs on it, and it shows the last five biennial budgets, we're now on course to be the largest, biggest spending legislature in the history of the state of Wyoming. If you add what we did in the regular budget and we add in the supplemental, we're now at $3.82 billion. Largest budget ever considered by the state of Wyoming. It's the second largest supplemental budget in 10 years. But the thing we all know here is we are not seeing the exponential growth in the revenues that we saw in the 2007, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13, 14. 2 years ago, we sit in this body and we had a presenter come in and show us what the future of natural gas prices look like, not next year or the year after that, but for the next foreseeable future. And the information was, is don't bet on more than 350. Natural gas was 273 yesterday. We all know oil's down. Betting on the come means that we're betting that our revenues are plateaued. What happens when we showed up here in January? We showed up here in January based on our forecasted revenues. We had a $220 million-plus deficit that we had to fill. And thanks to the good work of the Appropriations Committee, they were able to go back and get revisions. We diverted money from our permanent savings to be able to backfill that $220-some million. Good work, Appropriations Committee. We all are indebted. Well, let's talk about these contingent funds. What happens if the come doesn't come? Who's got a crystal ball? Who knows what's going to happen? We're in a world that the economy of the world is more destabilized, and it's shrinking every day. Wyoming is not an island. We're betting on the come is that those are the revenues that are going to be there in the future based on in the past. I can't guarantee that, and neither can anybody else in here. So we do have a policy issue before us. And the policy issue is if we adopt the budget as it's presented, and we go through and you pull these, it shows the tranches up, and we adopt all of tranche 2 and 3, what's that mean? And this is the policy shift. And what's it mean if the come doesn't come? And we only get down to the 17th or the 22nd priority. We pass this budget, it goes in one of these books. That's the law. So what's that mean? It means we've bound the hands of future legislators. People that may not even be elected today are going to have to live by this priority list. Or we're going to have to go back and repeal those laws. And what's the likelihood when you go home and you say, we've committed $30 million, the come doesn't come, it's in the laws, your hands are tied. Oh, we can come down here, we can debate it, but I can almost guarantee you, some of these are establishing funds for projects that are going to happen 6-8 years down the road. It's starting the savings, and I think that's an excellent idea. When we've got money, we should do that. I'm not convinced we have the money. And if somebody's got a crystal ball and would share it with me, I'd love to see it. So, Mr. Chairman, on the amendment. Mr. Chairman, what this amendment does, and I'm going to describe it, it basically goes in.
Time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President. Mr. President, I do think this is a very important amendment because I think we are tying up too much of the flexibility we're going to need in the future. Frankly, I hope we're going to knock out about a third of the projects involved here so that we have the flexibility I know we're going to need to meet the needs that will arise in the future. So, Mr. President, I'd like to divide this amendment. Mr. President.
Senator, the question is, do we divide it now or have the discussion on the general items that were referred to and then come back and divide it? It's
Mr. President, at your pleasure, which would you rather
do? Well, I think what I'd like to do is have the response to the general items, Senator Scott, and we'll actually come back to the sponsor for his division, and we'll let him, and that'll give everybody time to challenge it. But so the sponsor will get back, we'll allow him to do the division. But I think we ought to have a discussion on the general concepts first, and we'll come back.
That's fine, Mr. President.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President.
I'll let me get your mic on.
Thank you, Mr. President. On, as you expect, against the amendment, let's just talk about this concept. I was struck last night when my wife is going through a Bible study, and it's on leadership. And the very first chapter of that whole book is about the qualities of leaders. And one of the qualities of a great leader is to have some vision. And I think that's what we are doing here in this budget. We have chosen not to hide our heads in the sand. We have chosen to think proactively in advance of the important priorities for the state to move us forward in times where we all know are a little rocky right now, but in terms of projects that we expect that we are our priorities and are things that will move our economy ahead. Jobs for our people, construction, and savings for future projects. These are one-time funds. And yes, some of it is saving for future projects that will require us to do just as we have done with the capital, save money along the way so that we can tackle some of those big-ticket items in the future. So I suggest to you that what your Appropriations Committee has done is novel. I have said that. And I regret the fact that I said we're betting on the come, because that's apparently going to come back to haunt me. But, yeah, we are. But they're pretty safe bets. And I suggest to you that while it is novel and it's not something that we've seen before, it is a good concept for us to think proactively rather than to just simply hide our heads in the sand and say, let's get rid of this and we'll come back and deal with it another day. Fact of the matter is that we haven't necessarily bound any future legislatures with regards to funding some of these projects, but it is a good start. And I overall would simply say that I defend the actions of this Appropriations Committee in thinking into the future about what is best for our state and how we move it forward. And so those are my comments generally in against this amendment.
We're on general comments, Mr. Vice President.
Go back to the basic fact that all of your revenues typically in a budget are, if you will, betting on the come. They're anticipated revenues. You don't just have an expense budget, you have a revenue budget, and then you budget against the anticipated revenues that whether you're a company, whether you're a county, whether you're a state, you budget against those, your expense budget is against those anticipated revenues. How good are you at forecasting? Sometimes you hit the mark. Sometimes you miss the mark. Sometimes you underestimate your revenues. Sometimes you overestimate your revenues. Classic example is if you think without spending a dime out of these contingent appropriations that we're about ready to go into, we came back, and sure enough, there were $220 million less in anticipated revenues when we came back than we thought there would be a year ago. That's an example of if you don't do this, you're still budgeting against anticipated revenues. So when you go to this and we talk about anticipated revenues, first of all, when you address, are we tying the hands of future legislators? And the answer to that question is no. This budget bill expires on June 30th of 2016. Any of these expenditures that don't happen in accordance with the revenues that come in either on June 30th of 2015 or June 30th of 2016, if there's not enough to fund these appropriations that are on here go away. These are contingent appropriations. They only happen in the event that the money is realized by the state. The money that we're talking about and the money we're appropriating here, you have to go back and visit with where does it come from? It comes from, and the reason why these are contingent appropriations is it comes off of capital gains, which happen, we know, or at least our past experience teaches has happened, somewhere between 7 to 8 out of 10 years. These are the amounts that come from the 5% spending policy amount, the 5% spending policy amount of the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. This is the difference. These appropriations we've already talked to in 345 and 346 are the difference between the 2¼% of the spending policy of 5% spending policy amount that is dividends and income. This is the capital gains that will make up the difference between, so basically another 2¾% of the spending policy amount. That's what we're appropriating here. If we don't make these appropriations,
What hopefully will happen is we'll come out with a budget sweep, and these to the extent they need to occur, they'll be swept into the LSRA. So as we do this, two things to keep in mind. One is all of our revenues, whether they're capital gains or otherwise, are in some way contingent. Two is that these are contingent appropriations. If they're done in order of their priority, in the order that they're listed, they're filled. If at any of the point that there's not enough money that comes in, there's no appropriation to those individual projects. If there's not enough in 2015, they slide over to 2016, but the same thing happens. At the end of 2016, we get to June 30th of 2016. If there's not enough capital gains to fund what's in that last column, that last tranche, as we've been calling it, those fall off, and there is no commitment on the future legislature to reappropriate or to do anything other than deal with what we've got in this bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
The discussion is generally. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, I asked the question when I was trying to get a couple positions for the treasurer whether or not we'd have a change in tone. The tone on that particular budget amendment was like, well, there's no need to do this. We can wait and do it during the upcoming budget session because we're going to be back here in a few months. Well, folks, the tone has changed. We're different strokes for different folks. We're ringing a different bell. You know, Mr. President, let's look at in generally tranche 3, and I think every one of those fall under the argument, with the exception maybe of our capital rehabilitation and restoration account. Every one of them fall under that same argument that we're going to be back here in a few months. We're going to be able to take and have some of these probably should be bills. Some of them probably should have some planning in them. A lot of the construction ones aren't going to take place until after we meet. We haven't had a good discussion on a lot of the constructions here. Some of them are going to have some planning phases before we get back here next year. A lot of them can sit on the shelf. And when we come back here, we'll have a lot more information. And frankly, folks, there's going to be some competitive ideas that show up between today and when we come back here a few months from now. Some of these might go off the list if they're not there, because we might actually have to make payroll. That might be in competition to everything in Tranche 3. Now, if you look at the way this budget was made, and you go down to the lower left-hand side, we use this money in Tranche 3 to backfill the $222 million. That's the same kind of funds. A lot of them, those are the same kind of funds. And we use it across the bottom, a lot of stuff from SIPA. That's the same kind of funds. That at one time was a contingent unprofiled fund. You know, so Tranche 2, I think you could make a reasonably good case that that money might come in and that these are some pretty high-quality projects. And you can take a look at them one at a time, vote them up, vote them down. But really, folks, I think the argument that was made earlier today about the two positions for our treasurer, you can make that argument on everything in the Category 3 pretty much. We're going to have a lot of competition for these funds. And frankly, what will probably happen with these funds is that the competition is going to be, do we first backfill when we come back here? Because we're going to be coming back here with a $500 million hole or more. You add in education, it could be a lot more than a $500 million hole, where we're only at $222 million in the hole this year. But give ourselves some flexibility. I'm not saying that these things are chopped liver and we need to throw them out to the cat. I think there are probably some pretty good projects on here. Some of them I'll probably even vote for, because I think that you have to have some priorities. But I do know one thing. We better leave some of this money on the table So, because when we come back, we might have an appropriations committee that just resigns because there's no way that they can do the job.
Any further discussion generally? Senator Perkins, for your second time.
Thank you for my second time. Just to address a couple of those points. Folks, when you look at the first column and the difference between the example that my friend just gave a minute ago about what we were doing with the treasurer and these funds are very simple. When we were having that discussion earlier today, those are all in column one. That is absolutely, positively has to be done. That's the difference. When we were voting on that earlier, column one on that on this multicolored sheet, that stuff is absolutely positively. It is done. It is in the budget. It is. They have the authority to spend it, and that's the difference between column one and our discussion earlier today, where we're saying we can wait. We can wait on absolutely positively have to do types of things, because we'll be revisiting those things all again in the next budget. With respect to flexibility in column three, we will be back here in a year before anything in column three happens. We have the ability next year, if we need to, we can completely undo everything that happens in column three. Because nothing in column three will have happened yet. So we're not, with respect to that, even though we're doing this, we do have the ability to change course midstream through these projects if we need to. The other side of that is, my friends, if we don't have plans about what we want to do and where we want to go in the future, and we just say, well, plan it there, we'll come down at the end, and all of a sudden, if we wait until we have an $80 million project or a $100 million project, and we have to find $100 million out of one budget to do it, and we haven't been setting it aside, we'll be in trouble. We won't be able to do those types of projects. But keep in mind that on many of these projects, ultimately, we're starting to accumulate funds to the extent they're available in these accounts, ready to go in the future. All of these generally don't happen. There may be an exception or two, but most of these will not happen without further legislative action to go ahead and ultimately authorize those, just like we do when we come back and authorize things for community colleges and school facilities. That's a great example. We have school facilities. We appropriate this money. We come back. We've got a bill. We take further legislative action. So at the end, the fact that we start to save toward these things doesn't mean that it's cut in stone and it can never be changed, or we never have the opportunity to reexamine these or our priorities in the future. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any general comments before Senator Hastert?
Thank you, Mr. President. And it does seem like, you know, there's a lot of uniqueness to this. I've been serving on appropriations for a few years, and there's several things that we don't ever talk about. And one of the things that doesn't get discussed is, we're far from being broke. We're far from having issues. I mean, we put $707 million into savings, and that's something we never discuss around here. You know, and savings is important. That's critical. And what we're doing is what we decided, and we put a lot of thoughtful days and hours into this on the committee. And you know, is it everything that I want and in order that I'd want? Not necessarily, but, you know, I think there's, you know, one of the things I've touted on throughout the state and throughout my time in the legislature is we need to invest in Wyoming. And this takes care of some of that. This takes care of needs in communities that we otherwise wouldn't be taking care of. This takes care of our university. We have one four-year university, and my opinion is that we should be unwavering in our support of that. There's a lot of projects here. Yes, there's a lot of projects out there for the communities, and this is a method of investing in Wyoming and using those dollars and using them in a way that the communities can use. And I think we need to support this, and it certainly puts the JAC in a unique position when we're going forward with this. But, I know that you know, being there, we have put an awful lot of thoughtful time and hours into it. May not be all the information you wanted in the hours of time that we put in doing this, but, you know, this is an investment in our state, and it's a good investment.
Senator Landon.
Mr. President, thank you. And just to pick up on what was some of the comments of my friend from Natrona County, I'm one of the senators who does not sit in for the past 2 months on the intensive discussions that our Appropriations Committee is privy to. And so, by its very nature, our process doesn't give us everything that our colleagues are able to get on appropriations. So some of this, you know, senators, we've got to trust the process a little bit. I want to talk about Tranche 3, the third category. You know, my friend behind me pointed out that we can come down here next year and we can take every one of those projects off of there. But one of the things we tell each other, senators, over and over down here, is that people can't count on what the state's going to do. So I can just tell you, being boots on the ground out there in one entity that deals with some of what we do, this is valuable stuff. It kind of helps these entities to look out into the future and have an idea that this might be forthcoming. Take a look at some of those on that project list, Mr. President. That pool over at the University of Wyoming. If you're an athletic director or a coach, and you're talking to future athletes who may choose to attend the university, that's a pretty important line item. If you look at the STEM matching funds for the colleges, the University Science Initiative, there's every one of those give you an opportunity, if you're out there, boots on the ground, to start having a little bit of vision and a little bit of an opportunity to think what's coming down the road. Will it change? Can it change? Sure, we can change it ourselves. But let's not forget, we can come in January, we can lop every one of those off of there. I kind of like having them there so that we have a little bit of vision. Thank you, Mr. President.
Discussions in general. We now, Senator Driscoll.
Mr. President, excuse me. I've got a couple comments. One, I question the constitutionality of part of what's in these tranches. If you go to Article 3, Section 34, I'm going to read it to you. General appropriations bills, other appropriations. The general appropriations bill shall embrace nothing but appropriations for the ordinary expenses of the legislature, legislative, executive, and judicial departments of the state, interest on the public debt, and for public schools. All other appropriations shall be made by separate bills, each embracing but one subject. I don't believe a bike path in Teton County or a bridge in Evansville are ordinary expenses of the state. I looked up what ordinary is. The IRS and the Supreme Court have defined it very well for us. And capital construction is not an ordinary expense. The university and the schools are exempt from that, clearly in the Constitution. I have no problem with anything with the University of Wyoming, but I question the constitutionality of anything else that doesn't qualify as ordinary expenses. A lot of it does. A good part of it does not. I'd like some comment and feedback on that. Back to the comments, and I believe in the institution. It's great. I love what the Appropriations Committee has done. They're wise. They've done great things for us. But they did them for us. Huge parts of what's in these tranches should have been coming as individual bills to get the time to debate them. Folks, we've spent 2 days arguing on budget footnotes that amount to probably about $10 or $15 million of total spending. We spent 2 days arguing over those points. You guys have all got up and argued about them. And now we're going to vote in one fell swoop on two sections that's $285 million. I represent to you we're not spending the time to do it correctly. The correct way to do it is what the divisions are doing, is to take it line by line and make each one of us say what part we support, what part we don't. We lay great faith in our Appropriations Committee, and I get that. But a project of this magnitude going into the future, we deserve to be able to go home to our constituents, say, here's why. And here's why doesn't mean I voted for it because there was three things in it that I thought were good for my community. We need to do it for the good of the state. We need to stand behind what we do. And we need to have a chance for all of us, not just a few of us, for all of us to decide what the priorities are of the state of Wyoming. Thank you.
Discussions in general. We will return to the movement, the sponsor of the amendment, for a second time and in anticipation that he will divide the amendment for further discussion. Senator Hicks.
Now, just to discuss some of the points that are brought up, and I think this is the process, and we need to protect this process, and this is a deliberative process, and we should all be engaged in this, because this is policy, and it is pretty darn important to the state of Wyoming. Well, let's talk about some of the things that we've been discussed so far. One of them was the idea that whenever we do a budget, it's on projected revenues. That's absolutely correct. If you pick up the sheet, we're talking about $287 million in Tranche 2 and Tranche 3. But we should learn something from our history. And our history is only 30 days old that told us that when we projected the budget for 15-16, we come back 12 months later, we're already $220 million in the hole. What do you learn from that lesson? Maybe it's time to be a little prudent. We can't project. We've learned something in the last 30 days that what we projected 12 months ago didn't come to fruition. It's a downturn in our increases in our revenue, and we should adjust accordingly. And I do agree with the chairman of the appropriation. Leadership is important. There was a guy one time that helped lead this country named Thomas Jefferson. He said every generation should pay their own debt. And that should apply to legislatures, too. So, let's talk about the leadership. If we're going to fund Tranche 2 and Tranche 3, then we should be bold and we should be courageous and we should step out and lead. Rather than betting it on the come or may or may not come or who knows how much is going to come, we should fund these. We should fund them out of the LSRA. The money is there to fund them today, not betting on the come, not changing the budget process and say we're going to allocate projects into the future, that this is now our planning tool. We don't have to appropriate money to plan. I agree with almost everything everybody said here, right up into how we're going about it. I think we've learned something in 30 days that we need to be prudent going into the next biennium. I think if we want to lead and we want to be bold and courageous, we should step up and say this is important to the state of Wyoming. And this is our future. And we should fund those projects instead of kick the can down the road. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to divide the amendment. Members of the body and Mr. President, I've provided you a cheat sheet. And Mr. President, I would ask you is if this cheat sheet can be adopted as the divisions and ask for a ruling from the chair or Mr. Chairman or Mr. President, I can read through every one of these.
The amendment is divisible, and the cheat sheet, which is handed out on a white sheet with the divisions, is a helpful explanation of the division, and the sponsor may adopt that by his divisions and then move through his divisions.
Mr. President, members of the body, this is not as complicated as it looks. So let me go through this so we can track this in. What you need is you need your tranches in your left hand, and you need the amendment in your right hand. All right. Mr. President, if we go down to on page 1, it will say on line 31, it says Division 1. Division 1 is the general category that if we adopt any one of these, we have to bring that forward. That's the general provision in the budget bill. So page 120, lines 12 through 23, page 121, lines 1 through 22, all the way down. That section, if you see it, says Division 1. Now, you're also going to see in parentheses, it says see page 3. Page 3 goes and brings in that section and the budget footnotes and the other provisions. So the way this is structured is it goes into your budget and it goes through the priority list that you can track in those tranches. But a lot of these budget items have a footnote on them. So when you go down and you see, let's take for example, if you'll go to line 37, it says division number 2, and then it says see page 3. What division number 2 is, and I'll give you an example, that's number 1 on tranche number 2, which says capital rehabilitation and restoration account. Where it says see page 3, that's just the footnote in the budget. That's all those are. So when you see that, it says see page 3, see page 3. Those are the footnotes in your budget. So with that, Mr. Chairman, what I'd like to do is start to proceed through the amendments or the divisions. Mr. President.
We're on division 1. Would you explain your division 1?
Division 1 goes in and just adopts the language that if anything gets passed, that provision has to stay in there. Mr. President, as we vote through these, if you vote no, that means the current language stays in the bill. The current appropriation stays in the bill. Mr. President, I would ask for you to vote no on division number 1 so that language stays in the bill.
The question then is on lines, make sure we're talking about it. On lines 31 through 35 of page 1 is identified as division number 1, and you've been asked to vote no. The effect of voting no will to leave those lines in the budget. Okay, let's go to that page 3. Line 7. The point of order is well taken. So division number 1 All right. So division number 1 will adopt lines 31 through 35 on page 1 as well as line 7 of page 3. If you adopt that, then the general appropriation language is deleted and the sponsor has asked you to reject that amendment by voting no. And there's no appropriation associated with that, so a voice vote will carry. Does everybody understand the nature of the amendment or the motion? All those in favor of division number 1 say aye. All in favor, all opposed, say no.
No.
Division number 1 has failed. That takes us to the next item, which is division number 2. Will the sponsor direct us to the division, then explain it?
Mr. President, division number 2, if you go to your sheet that shows the tranches on it, deals with priority number 1, which is the capital rehabilitation and restoration count. Mr. President, that encompasses division number 2. Mr. President, what I would like to do to expedite these proceedings is because I'm going to ask to vote no on these is include divisions 2, divisions 3, divisions 4, divisions 5, division 6, division 7, which takes you on your list. So if we go down on your list, this is University Unconventional Oil and Gas Research Matching Fund. That includes all the way down to Division 8. It's Mr.
The chair rules that the movement can move the divisions 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 as a group because they do stand alone. It's because we defeated Amendment number 1. So if he wants to talk to them as a group, he's free to move them as a group, which will delete them or adopt them as a group. But any member could then request that the item be removed from his motion. So that the motion before you then is the sponsor has made a motion to move for consideration as a group divisions 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Mr. President, and 8.
And 8. And for purposes of managing the written document, this moves for consideration on page 1, lines 36 through 47. On page 2, it moves line 2. On page 3, it moves lines 8 through 28. Does everybody understand the movement's request? That, okay. We're on the point of order. Let me give you the microphone. I apologize for that. The point of order was what?
Thank you, Mr. President. The point of order is to include, in addition to what you said, line 4 on page 2, which is division 8. You did reflect division 8 on page 3.
The point of order is well taken. So to restate the lines on page 2, it will take lines 1 through 5. Does the movement agree that I've accurately described the sections he's moved?
Mr. President, I do agree with that, and I would ask the government.
Hold on. So those sections have been moved, and does any member wish to have any of those divisions removed from consideration of this motion? Senator Bebout. I'll tell you what, Mr. Majority Lord, Floor Leader, for consideration, we will take the division on page 3 will begin at lines 8 through 28. Because we've already moved line 7, and we'll try to do this carefully so that when we're done, all numbered left columns are addressed. So the motion does include line 8 through 29. So that as we're moving it, Senator Hicks, let's try to pick up the...
28.
Yeah, line 8 through 28.
Yep.
So, Senator, as you move this, let's pick up the paragraph from which you last moved so that we don't lose any dangling numbers. And that would be helpful for the permanent record. Do you understand that?
Mr. Chairman, now, can I have some more clarification?
Yes. Let's take, for example, page 3. When I restated your motion, I said it moves from lines 9 through 28. You already moved line 7, and we already ruled on that, and it was failed. Now, on this one, I should have picked up line 8 all the way through 28, and by doing that, there will be no dangling left-hand numbers, and it will be easier for the staff to understand which lines, and we won't have hanging chads out there. That's a bad thing.
We don't want that.
We don't want hanging chads.
Mr. President, I'd rather have hanging chads than hanging senators.
Yeah. So, does everybody understand the motion before you? Now, with that, any member may remove from consideration any of the divisions that are embodied within that motion. There has been no request to remove anything with it embodied, so Senator Hicks, you now may speak on that next motion, which moves divisions 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 as described. And for clarification, it includes lines 1 through 7 in each of the two tranches, correct?
Correct.
So it,
No.
Did I say that wrong? Is that only tranche on?
Tranche 2.
Okay, so that's just lines 1 through the two pages, then address the, okay, 1 through 7 on tranche 1.
Tranche
You've been asked...
Tranche
Thank you.
Two.
Tranche 2. Let me write that down so I don't do that again. Not column 2. Okay. The divisions have been moved and you've been asked to vote no. Roll call. A no keeps the appropriations in the bill.
Anderson District 2?
No.
Anderson District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquivel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks? Johnson?
No.
Kinski?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Pappas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Fladern?
No.
Wasserbricker?
No.
President Nicholas?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 30 no.
By your vote, division 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 have failed, which constitutes the following portions of third reading amendment number 11. On page 1, lines 36 through end, which is 47. On page 2, lines 1 through 5. On page 3, lines 8 through 28. Senator Hicks, do you have another motion to make?
Mr. President, explain. To go through the rest of these as individuals. If people want to debate them, that's fine. Mr. President, I'm just going to go through the divisions and ask for a vote. Up or down, and if somebody wants to discuss it, they can, but that's my intent, Mr. President. So with that, I'd like to move division number 9. If you go to page 2, division number 9 is on line 6. In your bill, it's page 122, lines 13 through 14. If you flip over to page 3, you will see division number 9 there. Corresponds with line 29 on page 3. 29 and 30. And I'd ask you to vote yes. Members of the body, this deals with tranche 2, line or priority number 8, University High School Student Summer Assistance. I'd ask for your favorable consideration with a yes vote.
Question is, lines is... Senator Wasserberger.
Well, Mr. President, thank you, Mr. President. I'm not sure we want to debate every one of these at an extended period of time. But
thank you.
The committee...
You may as well start the debate, and I think as time goes on, people will get...
The original request for this was $150,000, and it was cut to $50,000 because, for a lot of different reasons. But they also had, the university also had some funding from the previous summer. But what this program did... was bring at-risk students and other students to the state, to the University of Wyoming for a summer camp. And it was also kind of a high school recruiting thing also. And the people who were involved in it are really impressed with how great a program it was. So, Mr. President, in the attempt to be brief, because it looks like we've got about 50 amendments here, That's what the JAC did.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Senator Rothfuss.
Briefly, Mr. President, this is an important program. It's actually a statutory requirement that the high school institute be funded and continued. That high school institute does bring a lot of the best students from Wyoming, introduce them to the University of Wyoming, and a lot of them do end up going through the program, such as my lovely wife. It's a valuable program. It hasn't been funded. $150,000 was the request, which honestly was a pretty reasonable request based on their costs. $50,000 is a reasonable compromise. I urge the body to, I think I need a no vote on this one. Yeah, I urge the body to vote no so that we do not remove it from the budget.
Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, thank you. Just a clarification. The two previous speakers, I heard one say it was at-risk kids and the other one say it was the best kids. Not to say there's a difference, but I'm curious what we're talking about.
Senator Wasserberger, for your second time.
Briefly, thank you, Mr. President, but it's both. I mean, there's multiple camps. There's like three different camps, as I understood it. So there's the top-end kids, and there's the bottom-end kids, too. And it's
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, no on this section of the amendment. This may be one of the best recruiting tools the university has, frankly.
We're voting on division number 9, which constitutes the following lines to the amendment, which is amendment number 12. Lines 6 and 7 on page 2, and lines 29 and 30 on page 3. Roll call.
Anderson District 2?
No.
Anderson District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen? Coe? Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquivel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
Yeah.
Johnson?
No.
Kinski?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
No.
Perkins? Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
No.
Wasserberger?
No.
President Nicholas?
No.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 7 aye, 23 no.
Mr. President?
Division number 9 has failed. Senator Burns.
May I have privilege to the floor?
You may.
Could somebody raise their hand who has those coins?
Who's got the coins?
Thank you.
Senator Hicks, do you have a next motion?
Mr. President, I believe that was a trust but verify from the senator from Sheridan. Mr. Chairman, next division is Division 10, Division 10, page 2, line 8 through 9. Mr. President, that is division, and I'd ask for a yes vote. That deals with the data center migration. No, excuse me. Yes, that's the one it deals with, Mr. President.
President.
Senator Bevout.
President, quickly, I'd ask you to vote no. When we were looking at the Hirschler building and the way we're set up to do the data center, this saves us money. It's more cost effective. It deals with the whole transition of what we're trying to accomplish with our data center. To remove this would cost us more money by far in the long run.
Senator Ross.
Mr. President, I would also urge you to vote no. This also frees up space in the Hirschler building for additional space for state employees. It's part and parcel of the whole Capitol complex rehabilitation and restoration. Urge you to vote no.
Further discussion? Roll call on the division number 10, which constitutes lines 8 and 9 on page 2 of the amendment, third reading amendment number 11.
Anderson, District 2?
No.
Anderson, District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquivel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson? Kinski?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Pappas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Fladern?
No.
Wasserberger?
No.
President Nicholas?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 3-I, 27 no.
Division number 10 has failed. Next amendment, Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I'd like to move Division 11 on line 10 and 11, page 2. This is court technology for $400,000.
Is it only on the one page?
Correct, Mr. President.
Discussion, Senator Ross.
Of the Senate, I urge you to vote no on this division also. This is a statewide circuit court case management center. It's a data migration. Their request is for one-time money. It is the request is for a reappropriation of $400,000 that was reverted to the general fund on June 30th, 2014. There's a delay in completing that case management system, but it's important to the operations of the courts overall in terms of case management data, and that's how we know what's going on with our courts. I'd urge you to vote no.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Hicks, for your second time.
No, stand corrected. I would ask the body to vote no on this one.
Roll call on division number 11, which constitutes lines 10 and 11 on page 2 of the amendment.
Anderson, District 2?
No.
Anderson, District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstetter? Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquivel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Kinski?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Pappas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Fladern?
No.
Wasserberger? President Nicholas?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 30 no.
Division number 11 has failed. That constituted lines 10 and 11 on page 2. Senator Hicks, the next amendment.
Mr. President, I'd like to move Division 12, which on page 2 is lines 12 and 13, and ask the body for a yes vote.
Discussion? Senator Ross?
Mr. Chair, Mr. President, I ask the body to vote no. This is a contingency, a construction management flex contingency. It's a replacement of money. It's what we utilize or have available to us when properties become available throughout the state. Is how we acquired other properties such as the Eidelman and others that are important to the Capitol complex or to other places in the state also. And so having that money replenished gives your construction management and the Department of A&I the flexibility, along with the program from the SLIP board, to be able to utilize those monies when properties or whatever become available. I'd urge you to vote no.
Senator Christensen. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The reason it says construction management flex contingency is that it's appropriated to the construction management division of A&I, and so who is not only charged with the construction but actually acquiring property on which you would place state buildings. And so the object of this is that we've got this money in this flex contingency so that as you anticipate or that the building commission, legislature approves projects and works on projects in the planning, they have the opportunity to go out and buy that land or buy land when it becomes available, at which means that we can get it at a much better price than later on when the plans are fully fleshed out or when the plan's ready to go and we wait and have to buy it as a part of the wait and buy it then. We're going to be paying more at those points in time because people see a deep pocket to charge when it comes in. So by buying this, it allows the Construction Management Division of A&I to look forward and look out in connection with the Building Commission and in connection with the legislature on projects and acquire land at reasonable prices as it becomes available. We'd urge you to vote no.
Senator Driscoll. Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've heard the same answer, and I appreciate that answer, but I just want to make sure that is that line item, based on the answer, it's restricted to purchasing property, just if the definition says flex. So I just want to make sure it is for purchasing property. It can't be used for other projects.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, speaking on and for this part of the amendment to delete this, I think that having a hiatus in this purchase of land at this point would be a good thing. I think we're going to need to have some money for flexibility purposes for other needs in the budget. And I think with the probable view looking forward, we'd be better off not purchasing more property for the state at this point.
Senator Perkins, if you'd come forward, please. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. To answer the question from the big guy from the Northeast, it would refill the pot of money up to about $10 million. And so we've historically kept that available, which is money, I mean, that has been well spent. I mean, we acquired Safeway property. We acquired St. Mary's, the Delta Dental Building, Eidelman and Kendrick. Those are all important things. Now, I can only speak from my perspective here in Laramie County, but it's available not just to Laramie County.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. Vice President, on and against this amendment, folks, if you look at what we came up to prior to the year 2000, every time we needed a piece of property for expansion for the Capitol complex or anywhere else in the community, we waited to the last minute. And we paid not only, we didn't pay fair market value, we paid an extraordinary amount of money for properties. In addition, we lost opportunities. Folks, we're going to be leasing a building for this capital move that we could have purchased for about the lease payments we're going to be paying. But at that time, we didn't have the resources to convene. And more importantly, when that building came available, we were out of session. And we certainly weren't going to convene a special session to come down here and buy a building, nor could you effectively do it because the events changed so quickly. This was really built after the University of Wyoming, which had a long-term plan. They know that they have to move their campus north. And what they said to folks is this: we will purchase your property in our growth band for fair market value, but only fair market value. And if you don't want to sell it, that's fine. We'll buy from your children or your grandchildren when they want to sell it. And so you develop in advance. By doing that, we've saved millions. Now, when you begin to look at the Capitol complex and you look at this as a 20, 30, 50-year forward-looking move, we know that we're going to need more property for the Capitol complex. We are also, as we sit here today, leasing space in this community for general fund agencies at over $6 million a year. And we look at Casper. Casper, for example, we know we need to beginning to look at a campus there because they've got at least three buildings housing state agencies that are so dilapidated that the agencies have requested finally that they construct brand new buildings. Workforce Services is the first on the list. And there is no property suitable. But now we're looking at this, and even in Casper, you begin to look out and say, if you wanted to have a complex where you'd have three or four buildings, where would you go? Now, if we'd started this plan in Casper 10 years ago, we'd have found opportunities to buy the property when the opportunities was right and when the prices were down. And this is true for a lot of our institutions where you have pieces and parcels next to it. Folks, this has been an investment that has paid itself off several times. I urge you to vote no. Now, the dollars cannot be spent by ANI on their own. For the dollars to be spent, they have to go to the SLIB board, the State Land Investment Board, your five electeds, and they have to vote to approve it. And they always consult with joint appropriations before they do that. So there's plenty of safety valves to make sure this money is not wasted. I urge that you vote no.
What's that? Okay. Senator Anderson.
Yes, just quickly, I too would urge you to vote no. I happen to sit as the liaison on the Building Commission. All that you've heard is absolutely true, and I will say that a former senator that served here formed this division, and I find it to be one of the most money-saving, effective divisions that has ever been created. I think this flexibility is necessary. I urge you to vote no.
Roll call.
Anderson, District 2?
No.
Anderson, District 28?
Yes.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Coe? No.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Escobel?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross? Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
No.
Wasserberger?
No.
President Nicholas?
No.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 7 ayes, 23 no.
By your vote, division number 12 has failed, and that constituted lines 12 and 13 on page 2. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, the President and the staff need a break.
Okay. Mr. President, I'm going to send a beg leave to rise and sit again in 15 minutes.
The Senate will stand at ease until the sound of the gavel.